You should all have lesson 9, which we didn't get to last week, but this is the last lesson. And I really planned that we'd finish it, but I think with about 15 to 18 minutes, we may not finish it unless we just go right through it real, real fast, which we could. So it's just whatever we want to do. Go ahead and turn in. Let me think about announcements. Okay. Membership training's coming up on the 22nd. As I said, I think we got 30 people already signed up. That's great. We'll just keep them coming. So if you're interested in joining, just call the church, or I think there's a place to sign up in the bulletin or anything. And that's the 22nd. We have child care and a meal, and it's going to be great. That's going to be a lot of fun. The men's movie night's tomorrow night. There's a whole bunch of announcements that are in the bulletin. And so just look over that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to finish, Lord willing, I'm probably not going to finish it today unless we go real, real fast, but finish our study and temptation. It's a subject we deal with every day. Those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are pulled all the time to go contrary to the Word of God, the truths and the principles of our God and Savior. You think about that. Here we are, we've trusted in Christ, but we're always pulled to go contrary to our Savior. That's because we live, and here's the bottom line. The flesh, the old man, is affected by this fallen world, which is controlled by the prince of the air, the devil. So the devil controls the fallen world system, and the fallen world system is constantly pulling on us to go contrary to the Scripture, go contrary to God, to go contrary to what He wants us to do. And our flesh wants to do it. I mean, we want to do that because that's our flesh. Well, we've seen so much in the study over these weeks, and what we're going to do is this morning, whether we finish it or not, we're looking at some final points to think about the whole idea of temptation, and I hope we can put it together that way. If you've got questions, comments, as we go through it, just stop me. I want to make sure we've got this when we get ready to go to something else. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If we finish today, next week I've got a one-shot study. It could take us 2 weeks because, once again, we're slow as a group. But anyway, it may or may not take 2 weeks. But then I'm going to bring, I should have had it today. I was going to bring the listing of a number of studies that we had listed last time and give you the choices on what you want to study. And we'll see how that goes. I'll get that for you next week. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for this church, how much it means to me, the fact that I get to be here, and I count it as a privilege, the fact that I get to teach a Sunday school class. I know that is a great privilege and responsibility. So, Lord, thank you for this class. Thank you for I get to be here. Thank you for the body of believers here. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which is perfect, and the truths that we find, especially dealing with the whole issue of temptation. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life and who is there for us, and we never have to be afraid of losing our salvation. And we know that we can do all things through the one who strengthens us, and that's our Savior. So, Lord, thank you for that. But, Lord, we just ask you that as we continue and maybe either finish today or next week for sure the study on temptation, that you will teach us and that we'll understand how our flesh is affected by the fallen world, which is controlled by the devil, and they have that constant pull to sin, and we want to have victory. And Lord, we know that we can. We know that you have provided a way. And so, Lord, may we learn as we study today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John Greenleaf Whitaker, he wrote this. He said, "For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Think about it. It might have been. It could have been. It almost was, or that could have been. The truth is this, that sin destroys. It destroys lives. It destroys ministries. It has consequences. It destroys us. You might say, for what we consider a few moments of pleasure can destroy your life. And we all say, no, I mean, really? Oh, really? Think about a pastor who has a ministry And I had a friend who was a pastor who had a ministry, and it was just booming. In fact, he went to a place where they had never had expository teaching, and so when he started teaching expositorily, that the people in his church started telling other people, listen, this is different than we've ever heard. This guy's actually teaching the Bible. And so they started bringing all their friends, and their church like tripled in about a year and a half. And in that whole area where they lived, it was just booming. I mean, it was amazing. And then he had a problem in sexual sin, and that ministry was over. you could say, what might have been? Or high school student looking forward to college, everything going to be going great, but then something happens and they do some things, maybe drugs or something else, and that's over. And you could say, what might have been? I always think of Mike Tyson. And on top of the world with money, millions, famous, can't control himself or his flesh. And you could say, what might have been? You think of the college student who's making good grades, wants to get into graduate school, maybe gets ready to get into graduate school, but cheats somehow and gets caught. It's on the record. People say, what might have been? Or you think about a business person, takes money from a company, takes money they're not supposed to take, do those kind of things, and go to jail, and you say, what might have been? Sometimes we think that sin is just so, it's just us, just me, it's what I do, nobody has to know about it, nobody will know about it, it only affects me. But we've seen over the study that it's not just me, and it only doesn't just affect me. In fact, the great truth about sin is it destroys and it costs you more and takes you further than you could imagine. It always costs a lot more. You think the cost will be hardly anything, and it costs you a lot more. And you think that, listen, I can stop this anytime I want to. And you find that it's costing you more and taking you further than you could ever imagine. It's powerful. Sin is not one thing to be played with. It's not one thing to overlook. It's not one thing to say, sin and temptation. It's not one thing to say, it's not a big deal. This morning, as we're trying to bring to a close, this morning, maybe next week as well, we try to bring to a close this study of temptation. We've seen in this study how we're all pulled to do wrong, to go contrary to the Bible. We got to gain victory. We got to gain victory so it won't be what might have been. We've raised the questions like, what is temptation? Where does it come from? And we're dealing with it. Let's talk about it for just a second. Temptation is the pull to do wrong. It's not sin, because every one of us are tempted, and not necessarily sin. Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin. So the idea of temptation itself is not sin, but how we respond to that temptation is going to do it. Where does it, everybody experience it? Where does it come from? It comes from the world, the devil, the flesh. As we've said, the devil controls the world system. The world system affects the flesh. In reality, it's our flesh in response to all of this that's going on. Temptation, I think the next slide says, temptation begins inside, but is stimulated from without. It's really from inside. But it's the outside fallen world that affects us in that way. As long as we're in this body, these mortal bodies, we'll have the pull to sin. I have a friend, a brother-in-law, that says, you know, one day when God changes us and we no longer have the pull to sin, he says it'd be like taking off a big old heavy coat and saying, whew, I feel a lot better now. Right? Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have the pull to sin? God has left us on this earth in these bodies for such a time as this, with gifts, talents, abilities, power of the Holy Spirit, Word of God, body of believers, all together to do ministry, even though we have the natural bent to sin, and even though the temptations are coming and pulling on us all the time. Now, the truth is this, we can have victory. We can have victory in our lives. We don't have to be conformed to this world, but we can be transformed. Now, we said this. Let's just talk about for just a second. I've got there on your handout, temptation is the pull to do wrong and all of that. The top of that next page is the process. You remember we talked about it. This is just a review. We're not doing anything new. We're just reviewing. Some of the things toward the end are things I want you to think about. But remember the process or the progress. You can put a process or progress in temptation and sin. You see it, you want it, you take it, you hide it. We saw it in Adam and Eve. Basically, Eve, she saw it, she wanted it, she took it, they hid. We saw with Achan, he saw that garment and that silver or whatever it was. He saw it, he wanted it, he took it, he hid it. We see David, he saw Bathsheba, he wanted her, he took her, he tried to hide it. Over and over, it's just all the way through the scripture in our lives, we do the same thing. We see something, there's a temptation because we want it, we do it, and then we hide it. We try to say, I don't want anybody to know this. I don't even know that I did that. None of us want our thoughts up on the screen, right? None of us want our thought life on the screen. None of us want our actions put up on that screen either. Right? I mean, you don't want to come up here and say, tell me your sins from yesterday. Let's not even talk about your physical. Let's just talk about your thought sins. Tell them. Nobody wants to do that. We hide them. We saw that the only thing to do to deal with sin is you have to confess it. You can have victory because you don't have to fall all the time. Remember Romans chapter 6, we talked about that. But the bottom line is when we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. We see it over and over again. We took some time to go to the Scripture to see the failures, and there were a lot of them. And then we saw some of the victory. We saw how Jesus dealt with sin. We saw how Joseph dealt with the temptation, how Jesus dealt with temptation. So how can we have victory? We have defined the Christian life as a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. Now think about it. A walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. That's the Christian life. So how do we have victory? Well, He's given us some provisions, and we looked at them. We went over these lessons. The provisions, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the armor of God. Now think about that. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the armor of God. He's given us the Word of God to know and apply. That's why Countryside, from the very beginning, has always had the emphasis of the teaching of the Bible. Because you've got to have the Scripture. If you don't have the Scripture, you have nothing. You have no foundation. You have nothing. It is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You're to study the Bible. You're to meditate on the Bible. You're to memorize the Bible. You're to apply the Bible. You're to teach the Bible. You've got to do that. If we don't do that, we can't make it. That's why it amazes me to go to churches and the Bible's not even used at all. I don't go to very many churches because I'm always here, but I talk to people, and I mean, let's face it, I'm here most of the time, but people come in and they'll say, I went to a church, and nobody had Bibles, and they never even opened it. Is it a game? Is it entertainment? Is it just somebody to tell you what they think? I've been so fortunate in the 25 years that I've been here that I understood from the very beginning as I began to grow as a Christian that the purpose of a pastor is to teach the Word of God, not to do sermons. Where did this ever come about that a person's supposed to make up a sermon? Now, a lot of times some of you will say, good sermon today. And I say thank you. But the truth is, it's not a sermon. It's the teaching of the Scripture. What did it ever get that you're supposed to come in on a Sunday morning and a guy's going to stand up and tell you what he thinks about things? Who cares what somebody thinks about things? Isn't the role of the pastor to teach the Scripture? 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. The second thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the provision to walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we can ignore the Holy Spirit. I do it all the time, right? Don't you do it? You're pulled and you just ignore it. He's inside of us. So He gives us the strength. The third provision was the armor of God. And you remember we talked about the armor of God and put on the full armor of God so that we can stand. The armor of God is so that we, not that we're going after the devil, but that we can stand strong against the schemes of the devil in a fallen world. Now, that's the provision. Second is the plan of God. And that's 1 Corinthians 10. That's where we are. I want you to notice it. We've seen it over and over and over again, but I want you to see this. The plan of God is 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, I want you to think what he says. And we've seen this verse. We spent probably a couple of lessons on it, the idea of how it fits. But notice this. Once again, just to remind us, no temptation has overtaken us, but such is common to man. When a temptation comes in our lives, we cannot say, nobody's ever experienced this before. Oh, this is too much for me. This is too much for any human being. This has never happened before to anybody. No, the temptations that come into our lives are common to people in a fallen world. We're in a fallen world. We have a natural bent to sin. We have an enemy who would love to destroy us. And so when temptation comes in our lives, we, and temptation is sin, but temptation especially, we can just say, that's common. We almost should expect it. No temptation is overtaking you, but it's common to man. And this is my favorite part of the whole verse. God is faithful. God's the faithful one. We're not faithful. We never have been faithful. Never will be faithful. There's an idea of in a lifetime, you can say, I'm trying to be faithful. But if you know, if it depends on us to go to heaven, if it depends on us to do anything, we're just not faithful. But God is faithful. And here's what he does. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. There can never be a time in our lives that we say, I could not, what? I couldn't help it. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't help it. He says he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. We do not have to yield to temptation that comes in our lives. We don't have to. Now, we do it. We do it all the time. We don't have to. When there's a temptation in our life, we can say, I don't have to yield to that. He says, you'll not be tempted beyond what you're able, but here's what he's going to do. With the temptation, he will provide the way of escape. And then he adds to it, so that you'll be able to endure it, so that you won't fall, that you can make it. So every one of us in this room, from this day forward, we can say, listen, when I'm tempted, I don't have to fall. It's not beyond what I can handle in that sense, because it's not beyond what I'm able, but he'll make the way of escape so I can get out. And as we saw in the life of Joseph, and as we saw in some other passages, the best thing to do is to get out. The best thing to do is get away. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. That's what it says. Flee it. Get away. Flee idolatry. Flee lust. Get away from the things that are pulling us. And if there's something in your life that is causing you, that is tempting you, and you're failing, and what you've got to do is you've got to come to the point where you say, I will not put myself in that situation anymore. And if you find yourself in a situation that's causing you to fall or is tempting you, you've got to get away. So we need to examine our lives and say, what are some things that I'm doing that's not necessarily sin, but then puts me in a place that I'm tempted to do wrong or that's pulling me away? We talked about Hebrews, where he talked about run the race with endurance. If you remember that passage, it says that seeing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily entangle us. When he says lay aside every weight, he's saying you remove anything out of your life that's slowing you down. It may not be sin that's slowing you down, but it may be something else that's just not helping you grow. And then he says, and the sin that does so easily entangle us, and that could be anything. So in our lives, we have to say, what is stopping me from going on to maturity? And what is stopping me from having victory? Because he's already told us. It's common. It's not beyond what you can able. And he'll provide the way of escape. We got to do that. Now, we got about a minute. But what I have, if you notice, the rest I've got right here, summary points dealing with temptation. I have, I think, six, and we'll do those next week. And I want to talk through those six things. If we were to finish this real fast next week, we'll open up for any questions about temptation. We'll open up for any questions about the Bible. We'll talk about what we want to study in the future. We'll do all that. But there's six things that we want to talk about, and I call them summary points. And I think they're key. And let me just give you the first one, and this is one that sometimes we actually almost pretend it's not true, and that is recognize temptation in our lives. Recognize that it's there. He says, there's no temptation overtaking you, but such is common to man. Anybody not tempted? Listen, we live in a fallen world controlled by the devil. Our flesh is tempted. It is a natural part of us. We're naturally sinners. I know that the political correctness of the world is that people are good. People are not good. We're not good people. In the power of the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God, we do great things for God. Even unbelieving people can do good things for God, even in unbelieving. But if you look at a person, we have a natural bent to do wrong and to go contrary to God. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one seeks after God. That's fallen mankind. People are not basically good. You just take your billfold, take it down, set it on the sidewalk and walk away and see what happens to it. We would all hope that somebody would pick it up, look for your name, and take everything back. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. In fact, a lot of times it doesn't. So the first thing we have to realize is there is temptation in our lives all the time because we're fallen people. It's always there. As long as we're in this body, on this earth, we're going to experience that temptation and to go contrary to the Bible. I really think a lot about when you look at the whole idea of temptation and sin. Aren't you looking forward to the day in which you are changed, the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and you're with your Savior, either to die physically and to be absent from the body as present with the Lord, or He comes back in the clouds and you're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and thus you'll always be with the Lord. And from that point on, you will not have the flesh, because you'll be a glorified body, a different type person in that sense. Have a physical body, but it won't decay, and you'll be a glorified body. Aren't you looking forward to the day that you're not pulled by this stuff all the time? And in every one of you, it's different. There's some things we could say, what about this? And some of you say, that kills me. For somebody else, you say, I don't think about that. Well, what about this? Oh, I think about that. And it's just everybody's different. And they're there. Has anybody rung a bell? I don't think, I got 25 till, so we're past time. We'll get into that. That's the first one. We'll finish it, and then we'll talk about what we want to do next time, okay? How's that sound? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you've left us on this earth to live for you and to serve you. Thank you, Lord, you've given us the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the armor of God. Thank you, Lord, that all temptation is common. But you are not going to ever let us be tempted beyond what we're able, but you're going to make a way of escape for us so that we can endure it. Thank you, Lord. You're just faithful. Lord, I pray from this day forward, we'll begin to have even greater victory. Lord, I hope and pray that we've been having victories. But Lord, we know that we fall, and we fall more than we want to. We fall more than we know we should. So Lord, we just pray from our class, from these guys in this room, that we'll begin to have victory. That we'll take the armor of God and the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll realize your promises, and we'll gain the victory. And we'll run from those things that are beginning to pull on us, to tempt us to do wrong. And we'll have victory. Thank you, Lord, for this body of believers. I just love them so much. Thank you for our class. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.